No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett, the Riverland Roofing Studios. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss athletics and football, especially in the NIL space, name, image, and likeness space, then Riverland Roofing, to support our guys. My thanks to B&A Bank, my thanks to Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, and my thanks to Chris Spencer, Ole Miss legend, all-time great, stopping by Talking Champions today. Chris, how we doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great, man. You got me all pumped up, excited to be on this show today, man.
Yep, I told him before we started recording, Chris was my dude coming up. It just what it was. It was while y'all were all, fawning over Eli, this really shitty offensive lineman was all about Chris Spencer, who was a first rounder for your Ole Miss Rebels in, was it 2000? What was it? 2001?
2005.
2005. Okay, good. Yeah. 2005 to the Seattle Seahawks, number 23 overall. I remember it like it was yesterday, even though I'm bad with years now. Former center for Eli, just an accomplished Ole Miss Rebel and doing incredible things now in his area of expertise that we'll get to in a second. But Chris, man, tell the people what you've been up to. It's been a minute, probably, since a lot of people have heard from you. What's life been like for you, my man?
Man, it's been like an Uber driver. You know, I got three kids chasing them around. I mean, it's crazy. My oldest son, he's 16. He's driving now. I know you can't tell about this gray in my beard. But
prayer sent for that one, buddy. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Mine's 13. The idea of her driving and knowing what I did at 16 scares the hell out of me.
I know, exactly. Yeah. But he's doing well playing football here at Lipscomb Academy. Believe it or not, I have a receiver, and he's doing pretty well for himself. And then I have a daughter who's in eighth grade, she's 14 going on 40. I have my youngest son. He's 13. He'll be 13 this coming week. So life is busy, man. Life is busy.
We are getting old. The fact that I'm talking to Chris Spencer, my age 39 year, heading into 40, and he's got a little white in his beard. Buddy, I haven't felt older than I do right now. But also, again, Chris was my dude. I told him this coming up as a crappy offensive lineman. He was an inspiration to a lot of people, especially from Mississippi. And now is the CEO and founder of Team Q, Team Intelligence. For the people, the Ole Miss fans that don't know, what is that, Chris? What have you been doing in that space? Because I didn't want to give anything away to start here. You've been doing some incredible things. Tell the people what you're up to.
Yeah, no, I've been building a technology platform that analyzes people's language. So things that we can talk about on here, just natural conversation, we're able to take that language and build personality and behavior profiles from it. And so how that really lends its support in the space, we work in the sports space with, NFL, Major League Baseball. We are now heading into the college space and now heading into the high school space, being able to give coaches a cheat code to understanding the personalities of these kids and how do they fit in their environment, what kind of culture that you need to have set around some of the individual that you're bringing in. But also, when you look at it from the lens of the player, put some ownership on the player of what are my intangibles? My intangibles that separate me from others, but also not just about my talent on the field, not my size, my arm length, my speed, but what are those intangibles that really set you apart, like coachability, your character, your leadership, composure, helping them understand and become more aware of these things. Because now, again, when you look at this NIL space, you brought it up, money's gotten too big to just discard a player. So you as a player got to showcase more of that side of you. And then as a coach in an organization, you have to do more due diligence on understanding who these athletes are.
How do you get to know the athletes? What does that entail, right? Because it's easy enough to build a profile that's saying, hey, I'm a team leader. I'm great in the locker room. I do this, that, and the other. But to really separate and to distinguish these players when you're making important decisions as far as dollars and cents, right? Because the dollars and cents are what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
But you, the culture, there is still an element to it, the psychology of the game. How do you break these kids down? How do you help the schools and the kids themselves find pairings that work for them?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. Well, when you look at a lot of assessments that are out there, like Likert scale assessments, Myers-Briggs, TABS, again, those are good assessments, but there's a lot of bias in some of those assessments. And so that's my own personal bias. I'm going to tell you what I think you want to hear. There's bias in the assessment, but then there's also a social bias in these things. And so what we come from is from a language standpoint. We want to take your language, your words, because 60% of that language comes from my subconscious. So these things that you can't fake, you can't trick, you can't change. So if that's 60% of your language and we're looking at it through the lens of function words, we're able to dive into and figure out exactly who you are and how to help support you, but also make you aware of who you are. And so when you talk about a locker room, and let's look at LSU right now, you know, a lot of talent on that team, you know, what did they end up spending? What, $18 million on that roster? So it shows you that buying talent and putting talent in place without these important characteristics of understanding how to quantify these intangibles. And you hear coaches talk about it all the time is, hey, you know, this guy have these type of intangibles. But when you can't quantify them, only quantify them through your gut feel and what you see, yeah, you're going to hit on some guys, but you're also going to miss on some guys. And so being able to use the technology and being able to take someone's language without them introducing their bias and without having a testing bias to it, now we're able to quantify and give you real results on, hey, here's where this kid is. And there's no right or wrong, because at the end of the day, we're going to draft talent. We're going to recruit talent. And so, you know, but when that talent comes into your locker room, do they have self-awareness of where they are? And then do you have self-awareness of how to support them? And so that's how we're using our technology platform to do that and help teams identify these metrics on the front end, things that's been really hard to quantify for a long time until now.
What is the most wanted, quantifiable, and tangible across, like, for every school, every that you talk to, they're saying, well, it's a consistent one. We got to have this amongst the other stuff. What has been a consistent, quantifiable, and tangible that schools are really looking for in the NIL era?
Well, I give you six. You know, we've done this across a lot of spectrums, and the six that really continue to come up is, you know, what's the character looks like? You know, leadership. Do they have the composure when it's fourth and one? Can they sit in their stance? You know, what are their thinking style? Is this a kid that is an analytical thinker that I have to be aware? How do I break all these pieces down to make sure that kid can go out there and perform because he knows all information? Or is it a gut feel kid that's going to take time, that's going to be a slow learner on some things? And then when you look at the, you know, particularly the leadership style, is to, you know, is this kid, can I count on, do I have a group of kids that I can lean into, that I can help them become better leaders, to be the leader in the locker room where my players are actually, you know, going to gravitate toward, you know? And so, and there's a lot of different type of leaders. There's leaders that lead by examples, there are vocal leaders. There's also the silent leaders are the ones you're really trying to identify, because when you look at the locker room and you see the guys who never say anything, they, you know, they're not necessarily first in line on everything, but that's who the players in the locker room are gravitating toward. You got to be able to identify that. You need to know that, because those are the leaders that you then start to bring to the forefront to really help lead your program. And so we have six of those that really stands out within the measures that we look at. Like I said, we have 80 plus data points in our system that we can look at, but those have been very consistent of how do we really understand this athlete, but also help an athlete understand that, because that's the foundation that's going to help you transition to that environment and transition out of that environment to whatever you do outside of sports.
You retired from football in 2014, and hearing you talk about Team Q Team Intelligence as a CEO, EO, and founder. I was reading up, you know, doing some type of preparation. And there's a quote I read from Chris that said, you know, comes from Madison, Mississippi. Come a long way then, right, since a granddad's cotton soybean fields. Dude, I mean, my goodness. Football still a part of life, but my guy's taking it into the future, and that's incredible, man. But it's such a great journey for you and how far you've come, not just in football, but in business, in your life. What's your right now, like for you, what's the relationship like to Ole Miss now, right? I mean, we can get into the career in just a second, but do you still watch the Rebels? You got the Ole Miss shirt on, you got the Ole Miss helmet in the background. I mean, tell me, you still a diehard with it?
Oh man, diehard. I mean, I wake up. I have a podcast I do now, and every chance I get to interview someone from Vandy or Georgia, you know, I make sure I stick to the Rebels out there. You know, hey, yep. Ole Miss baby. And so I've been on alumni board down there. I'm down there. You know, I try to get out as much as I can with three kids right now, but constantly on calls with, you know, Matt McLaughlin and guys like that down there. Javon, just kind of keeping my pulse on what's happening with the program. You know, and I've also, you know, they call you and get a check out of you. And so, you know, I contribute to the program in ways that really help us build what Keith Carter's done. He's done an amazing job with the program across the board from, you know, all our sports. And it's just been amazing to watch the evolution of Ole Miss with, you know, Landon Lane and, you know, starting getting some of the top tier coaches into a place to help us build the depth that we need. That was the thing that we was always missing at Ole Miss, is having that consistent depth. And so to see the program in a place where we have that kind of depth right now, that gives us ability to go out and compete. Someone gets injured, you know, you look at Trinidad and he steps in. Someone's, you know, and we don't miss a beat. And so I contribute a lot to Keith Carter and, you know, into being able to identify, again, back to those intangibles, you know, being able to, you know, being a leader, being able to identify those intangibles that's going to help really propel our program to where it is today has been awesome to watch and be a part of.
Yeah, because a huge intangible for him, this is a transfer from Ferris State Division II, national champion, and all these kind of different things. And you follow his journey, former zero star recruit, wasn't a coveted transfer like that or anything like that, but the intangibles and how Ole Miss scouts and develops, and guys like Chris who pay attention to those things specifically, it separates the good teams from the teams that are just trying to figure it out. That includes LSU right now. That includes Florida right now. And Ole Miss is in a place that when you were playing, when I was coming up with it, I mean, Eli, y'all had the first 10-win season, you know, the modern era. I mean, it was a different time. And now you've got three out of the 5 years that Lane's, you know, right, coached here. You know, now they win 10 wins every single year. To see the growth of the program in that way, to contribute in it in such a tangible way that you do, how rewarding is that as a former player, but also someone who just gives a shit about this place, right? You're a Mississippi guy. You're a parade All-American. You're the coveted out of high school. You could have gone anywhere, and you came to Ole Miss, right?
Yeah. You know, I think that was one of my biggest goals when I decided to – when I was going through my recruiting process is, you know, what do I want to be? What kind of legacy do I want to leave? And it just always kept coming back to, you know, why are so many of our guys leaving the state of Mississippi? We have so much talent there. If we can keep a lot of our guys in the state of Mississippi, we can win some ball games. And, you know, and looking at what, you know, Coach Cutcliffe and the staff that he had built there at Ole Miss, I mean, Coach John Latina, Mike McIntyre, guys like that, Ron Millerton. I mean, we had an unbelievable coaching staff. Hell, half of those guys are still coaching in the NFL right now, you know. And so when I was looking at it through that lens and what kind of man I wanted to be, because my mom was very, you know, instrumental in, hey, you know, who is going to help develop you and continue to help develop you as a person. And Coach Cutman, and he was unbelievable man. Just still to this day, he's still one of my first phone calls I want to make when I need advice, when I need, you know, just to vent to him. He's always been there for me, and I just love that man dearly. And he poured into us. And the thing that always stuck out to me, leave a place that are better than you found it. Even as a recruit, when, you know, those are always the words that I kept hearing. And I knew the moment that he got around my mom that it was going to be over, because he was good with the moms. And the moment he got around my mom, she just looked at me and said, baby, that's where you're going. You're going to play for that man right there. And I just, and it was, you know, and staying close to home and being able to do what we did at Ole Miss was awesome. But the relationships that we, that I still have from that, from being in Oxford, I mean, no matter what I do, when I go back to Oxford, Mississippi, it feels like I never left, you know. And then to look at what Lane has done to this point and being able to bring former guys back into the program and being instrumental in making sure guys were still being a part of the program. That's been fun to watch, fun to be a part of, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's, I'm a diehard, man. I'm a diehard. And it's, you know, they can pick up the phone tomorrow and ask me to be down there, and I'd be on the first thing smoking. And so, love where our program is and where it's headed.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Well, you've touched on something here that doesn't need to be lost. I've talked about this extensively here on Soccer Champions, powered by Riverland Roofing, B&A Bank, Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group. For if you're shopping your insurance needs or just looking to get health insurance, Drew Moak is the guy to call, 601-953-8449, quoteswithdrew.com. That's 601-953-8449, quoteswithdrew.com. But you've touched on something here that used to not be the case, but it kind of speaks to how Lane has elevated Ole Miss and taken it into a contention in place that it hasn't been consistently in the modern era, certainly ever before. It's that and Javon Patterson's such a huge part of this. I mean, this is what he does. But, like, outreach to former players, bringing them into the program, having them not just come for a special, like, celebration on the field. No, have them as an active part of the daily process, and that includes raising money, yes, but also you know, just having celebrating your alumni. And that's something that Ole Miss has embraced recently within the last 5-6 years, especially that they hadn't before. And man, it's paid dividends, and that's how you've seen the growth too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember the first time those guys sat down with me here in Nashville. We sit at the Soho House, Javon and Matt McLaughlin, you know, just having a conversation about what the future looks like and how do we get former players back involved. And, you know, and they asked me, you know, hey, we're trying to really tap into our former players and get them back, not just to, you know, have them come to a game, but get them involved, you know, financially in some spaces that can help us really bring guys back. Because we believe, you know, if you, it's just like anything, you know, like I just got my son a truck and I left a drink in there, and he comes at me and he's like, hey, Dad, you got to take your stuff out of the truck. You got to take your stuff out. And all these years he's been in my truck just dirtying it up and never thought about that, you know. So you so my point is that when you're invested in something, you know, you're in tune. You know, you're checking in, you know what's happening. And I think that's the whole, that was the whole message of what we were trying to get accomplished when, you know, we started this campaign on getting former players to invest back in the program. Because now those guys are, you want to track your dollars, you want to know what's going on, you want to call and say, hey, you know, can I show up to do anything else? And how do you guys keep getting me involved? And so that program that they put together around that has been tremendous for the program. And it's definitely have helped set up, you know, guys being in the locker room, being around and being able to, you know, lean in and give advice when they, you know, when they're around to other players, you know, things that, you know, we saw a little bit of when I was there, but they've now taken it to a whole nother level.
See, and that's the thing, too, when you factor in the Lane rumors and stuff like that. And the old days, Tommy Tuberville leaves Ole Miss to go to Auburn. These days, the idea that you just leave Ole Miss for a, quote, bigger job, there aren't bigger jobs anymore. Ole Miss is pulling its resources in every way. It doesn't matter if it's average annual salary to even for former player alumni support and engagement. it's just a different Ole Miss. Do you kind of see it the same way too? Because that's I've tried to tell people over and over again. All they want to know right now is Lane staying? Is Lane staying? And I'm like, guys, first of all, it's going to be damn near impossible to pull him because Ole Miss is going to match everything. That's something by itself that Ole Miss would not have done. Go to $13.5 million, compete with the. It's a different world now, man.
Absolutely not. I mean, it's a completely different world. People have been asking me that. I've been getting messages.
Of course.
And I said, look, guys, here's the deal. Lane is not leaving because of money. He will not leave because of money. It could be for another reason, but it won't be for money. It won't be for support. It won't be for, the community loving on him, being there for him and cheering his family on. Lane could, when this thing all said and done, if he stays put, we'll build a statue for him because he's really elevated us to that place of prominence now in this space. And so how do you walk away from a program? And again, you can't because everyone has their reasons, and that's up to Coach Kiffin on what that looks like for him. But I believe within our community, and within our leadership, we're going to do everything we can to keep him. We're going to do everything that we can to support him as a community, as former players, because I played for Pete Carroll in Seattle, and Lane comes from under that tree, and I see a lot of similarities of, the psychological side of really understanding your players, understanding what your players' skill sets are and how to set them up for success. And Pete was a master at that. And part of that is, how do you give ownership to your players in a locker room? And I see a lot of that they're training and teaching their players how to be leaders. And then part of that is also giving them the ownership in the locker room. And I think in this day and age, it's gone a long way. And that's why I think Lane's been super successful within the transfer portal. And I think, the only thing that we as a program got to continue to lean into is how do we continue to help with, recruiting the high school kids and because at the end of the day, in this day and age, you have to really be able to do both well now. You have to be able to recruit high school well. You have to be able to recruit the transfer portal well. And so now that the transfer portal piece has kind of settled down, now we can, just my personal opinion, now we can start to really lean back into how do we continue to sell ourselves and sell our program to high school players to be a part of what we're doing in the transfer portal. Because you can't build a program completely without that from, and be able to sustain that, in my opinion. And so being able to be in a position to kind of help him, do those things. But at the same time, I think he got a good plan. I think he has a good, unbelievable X and O's guy. I mean, I watch him on the sideline and before the play even started, he's already pouring. I'm like, oh, he got him. He got him. Right? And then I look at him and I see the safety roll down. I say, oh, I see what he see now. And so it's been fun to watch the X's and O's part of it, but also see the excitement from the players, how they are responding for him.
And the most important thing right now is that Ole Miss is in playoff contention, has a legitimate shot to not only make the college football playoff, but make a run to a national championship. Would it be their first since the 60s. And that in and of itself, everyone else worries about what's next. That's how it is in college football these days. It's what's next, who's next, this next. I'm looking at what's coming up. First of all, South Carolina this weekend, and Lane wants everybody to pack it out again. But then if they continue on their current trajectory, what you Ole Miss fan have been praying for probably in your lifetime is quite literally right in front of you. So I think that's where my brain is. It's like, what's the worst that could happen? Lane goes to Florida. Okay, if they win a national championship, Ole Miss fans say, hey, please and thank you. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're still going to build a statue for him. All right, then right. Gets the mark out to close this interview with Chris Spencer. I'm going to ask you stuff that I've been wanting to ask you ever since I watched you play at Ole Miss when I was a kid. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, why did you leave as a junior?
Man, it was one of those opportunities.
Tell me it wasn't personal to Ben.
No, it wasn't personal at all, man. I'll tell you a quick story on that. I was dating my wife at the time, and I was in Vancouver, Canada. So that's where she's from. And we met at Ole Miss, but I was there meeting her family for the first time. That was a big step. And it went pretty smooth. So we're 20 years in now. So it went pretty smooth. but Coach Latina at the time, when Coach Cut got fired, the whole staff got fired, he asked me, hey, what are you thinking? I was just like, all right, what do you mean? And there's a junior committee that you can send off a ladder to see where they're projecting you. And so a ladder went out. I forgot about it. I was in Vancouver. I get a call one day sitting on the couch, and there was the NFL Junior Committee saying, hey, we're projecting you to be a first round draft pick, late first, early second round draft pick. And I said, OK, cool. Thank you. The next day, I talked to Ed Orgeron and told him I was coming back. I told him after that call, I said, hey, I'm coming back and I'm ready to help in recruiting, whatever you need me to do.
There you go, big fella. We need to have you come back, big fella. There we go, big fella.
Come on. And then the next day I get a phone call, I get a phone call from Archie and man, I just, never expected it, for him to reach out to me. He asked me what kind of grade I got. And I told him I got a late first, early second round grade. So yeah, so that's a pretty good grade. What are you thinking? I was just like, well, I just told the new head coach, I'm coming back. And so that's what I'm going to do. I felt like I was loving Oxford, man. I was loving my people and I didn't want to leave. And so, but after making some phone calls and talking to some really important people, got a phone call back and said, hey, that's a legit grade. And it's life changing things for you. And so,
gotta go.
So the opportunity for me that was there that, when you look at, timing, preparation, circumstances and all that, it was the right time and it was the right thing for me to do, and I couldn't ignore it. And so and it ended up working out, man. Drafted by Seattle in the first round, first center taken in the first round 15 something years or something like that. And so and it's really set me up as a springboard to life. Football was not my passion of the, this is who I am or what I'm supposed to be. It was a springboard for me into life. And so it's done a beautiful job for me and my family to really set me up for the things that I've been able to do now, the things that God has called me to do.
Well, you're forgiven. You broke my heart, but you're forgiven. All right, so your SEC, welcome to the SEC moment was what?
Ooh, I think it was Alabama game. I can't remember the defensive tackle, I'm about to throw Eli on the bus. Eli threw a pick, and I'm running to go make a tackle. And all of
good
a sudden,
for you. What a good teammate! What a leader!
And as a young guy, you don't learn, and no one tells you, hey, when these things happen, you better get your head on a swivel. Because I came out of high school where we didn't throw the football. We ran the football down your throat.
Very Mississippi in the yes. late 90s, early 2000s. I didn't know what a pass was in New Albany,
Mike Justice, man. We called one pass play in a state championship game that got checked to a run in a state championship game. I'm running.
Run them over, our boys against theirs,
I mean, we had a line. Doug Buckles, myself. I mean, we were rolling people off the ball.
To be honest, in defense of Coach, if I had Doug Buckles and Chris Spencer on the same line, I just line up and say, yeah, we're going to bully him all the way down the field. That's easy, make me look good. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, in this Alabama game, I got bullied because I went to make this tackle. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm about to make a tackle in college football, SEC.
I'm going to get in the paper. Yeah.
And right as I get close to the ball and all of a sudden I just someone just put their shoulder pad right in my chest, underneath my chin. My feet went in the air. I hit my name on my nameplate. And I was like, whew. It's like, okay, welcome to the SEC. So,
you know you've taken a good hit when you land on the name that your mama gave you. You know what I mean? It's just like,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's me. I wonder. All right. So your my favorite government name. Oh, that's so funny. Your favorite Ole Miss memory, the one you tell the most when they say, hey, Chris, what was your favorite Ole Miss moment, win, whatever? What was it for you?
Man, that's a good question. That's a good question. For me, it was probably Cotton Bowl. Playing in that stadium and
the last game in Cotton Bowl Stadium, wasn't it?
Last game. And
you're Tremaine Turner, you're running back for your Ole Miss Rebels. Don't get me started here. That was that was because I don't think Ole Miss fans quite understood, for the newer Ole Miss fans, for Ole Miss people to get there was such a monumental thing. Yeah. And the 10 wins, I mean, those guys that you probably don't even talk about, LP Spence. I mean, guys that were just legends. Because of that season, because Ole Miss had not done that. So, yes, continue the Cotton Bowl. Oh, you're getting me Ole Miss nostalgic over here, Spence. What's going on?
Yeah, and I remember that game because, Mike Espy and I, we went to high school together and we came to Ole Miss together. And I remember him dropping a pass. And I remember, Eli's going back to him. I think it was the next play. And then I think he ends up scoring a touchdown. And that feeling of like, man, we stayed here, in my home state to be able to do this. And here we are on this big stage to do this. And now we're doing it. And so so that was probably one of my favorite memories of playing in that game and knowing why, you know, why I stayed in Ole Miss to be able to be in a position to go to those type of games, to be on a national stage. And again, I think that same year we were 7-1. We got beat by LSU, I think, and we were well on our way to really go compete, you know, and LSU just happened to be 7-0 the same year where we're 7-0 in the SEC. And so
it's the most Ole Miss it was a fun year. It's nonsense. You know, I'll never forget when Travis Johnson picked off Matty Mauk there to start that game, how loud it got in the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, this is our time. Then, you know, it goes like it goes. Your Lou Groza Award winner has an off day. And then Doug, one of the greatest.
Steps on
Eli's foot. Oh.
See, and I used to get the blame for this, so I appreciate you bringing it up. Welcome. Because I would always get the blame for stepping on Eli's foot. But
it's not true. It was Doug. But also, I just defended Coach for running the ball behind Chris Spencer and Doug Buckles when he had Mike Espy on the team too and didn't throw him the ball. Was Espy quarterback?
No, Espy was the top receiver in the state. So we had me, Mike Espy, Doug Buckles, member of Paris Harrison.
And my guy's just blocking?
Yeah. You remember Paris Harrison?
Yes.
Defensive end. He was on that team. And then also Steven Gazowski, the kicker for New England. He was on that same team.
In New England. Yeah. Y'all won state, right?
We did.
Yeah, y'all were going to win state by default. My gosh, y'all could have been wide open.
And well, let's pause there now. You had the University of South Panola that we had to go through. University of South Panola, they were tough. That was the first year, and we beat them in the north half. I think we converted three fourth downs to win that game.
See, South Panola is not the university anymore, but back then, give me some names that were on that South Panola team. Was Eddie Strong? Was that too late?
He was gone already. I can't even remember all the guys.
See, I remember Tig, Nick Brazel, Tony
Brazel. Brazel was on that. Tony Connor was on that team. Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
That's way back. Yeah.
So South Panola, you had to get through the monster and they did, but Coach, you had Mike Espy to throw to. The great.
Well, Mike got his due that game because he was the one who got us out of those holes when it was 4th and 8, 4th and 10. In the north half, you know, throw it up to Espy and he went up and got it, you know.
Shocker.
And so,
Shocker, you know, NFL it's receiver. Who, you know,
it's a game plan. Game plan.
The game plan. Oh shit! We got to get the ball to one person. Let's throw it to the guy who's the best in the state. Oh, well, Coach, you redeemed because you won. But holy cow, Mike Espy was on that team too, and you didn't throw him the ball except when you had to. That just means you're old school. Times have changed, but what has not changed is that Chris Spencer is one of the very best to ever do it for Ole Miss football. He is awesome. You're welcome to come back on this show anytime. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it, and we'll do it again.
Absolutely, Ben. I really appreciate the time, man. Thanks for having me on.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.